T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can. So glad it is beach season, the official beginning. It is Memorial Day weekend. Maggie and Perloff hanging out with you on this Friday. I'm in New York. Perloff is in Los Angeles. He's going to be heading out to the Steve Clarkson quarterback retreat. We've realized this is the genesis of like how Perloff becomes friends with every quarterback in the NFL. It actually starts weekends like this weekend. Nice job.
You got to start young. last year, you know, some of the guys who've been there in the past, Trevor Lawrence was there 3 years ago now.
Yeah.
Last year, Malik Willis was there. CJ Stroud was there before he ever started. DJ Uiagalelei was there. Bryce Young was there. And it's funny, too, because it happens so fast now in college football, Maggie. Bryce Young had only played a couple snaps, you know, a year ago at this time, and then boom, becomes an instant superstar. CJ Stroud didn't even know for sure he was going to win the starting job. Then he has second place in the Heisman voting. College football moves fast, and it's like you don't even know how big a guy is going to blow up and how fast it is.
Perloff's going to be every year now, you're going to have to go to like an earlier camp. You're going to start, you know, like high school and then middle school, and then pretty soon just like hanging out at the Pop Warner field.
That's the way the business is. It's getting like basketball. There's just undercurrent of high school. Remember, high school football has never been covered like high school basketball, because high school basketball guys were superstars. Now high school football guys are getting more attention. I mean, Arch Manning's on a whole different level. But it is interesting. Like, we start like NFL teams, it even feels like, well, there's a big high school class coming. You know, we might want to make sure we have a top 10 pick in 2027, you know?
Man, there's something fascinating about that and something maybe a little bit sad about that, too. Maybe we pump the brakes a little bit. Well, let's talk about the pros and a couple of future Hall of Famers, because obviously we see Steph Curry last night. Perloff, well, he didn't even actually individually have a phenomenal game, but the Warriors, they beat the Dallas Mavericks. They're back in the finals for the sixth time in the last 8 years. And even if Steph doesn't have an unbelievable shooting night, we realize that Steph Curry is that team, right? He is the engine. He is the leader in so many ways that we don't see on the outside. Like, I saw Steve Kerr gave an interview to The Athletic where he talked about one of the subtle things that Curry did this year was that he allowed the Warriors to like basically tinker with his minutes, because they needed to, because they had so many unknown commodities on the team, they needed to have as many different lineups during the season to collect as much data as possible to see what works with what lineup, that Curry was okay with changing out all of his substitution patterns and didn't care and sacrificed in that way. You might say, Maggie, that's small, but like, I don't know. Tell me what other two-time MVP might go along so easily with that. You know, there's other things that Curry has done, which is, you know, the Warriors basically saying, we're going to develop these draft picks rather than trying to trade them all to get another superstar after Kevin Durant left. And Curry said, fine. I mean, how many guys in this day and age would say, no, I'll roll with the young guys, even though they're unproven and I'm still ring chasing.
Yeah, I call it the humble superstar. I think that maybe humble is not the right word. But I think when other guys on the team see Steph Curry be team first, Maggie, I feel like that has an infectious quality to it. Tom Brady was that in New England for two decades. Like, Tom Brady was the superstar quarterback of all superstar quarterbacks. Took a little bit less money, worked his butt off in practice. I don't know if Steph Curry, you could say the same exact things, but I feel like that's important to have a superstar who is obviously puts a team above his individual needs. I think you said it very well. That has an effect on everybody, and that's how you create like a great team. To me, the Warriors, even though they have a superstar, are a great team. And that's pretty rare because a lot of superstars get ego in the way. We were talking about Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant in Brooklyn. Obviously, it's hard to keep a super team together because of ego. And I don't know Steph Curry personally at all, but it seems to me like he does a very good job of keeping that in check. I know there's some people who think the opposite, think that he's full of himself, but I feel like Curry seems like a team first guy, and that's a huge quality to me.
Yeah, it's amazing. You're right, because we're talking about Curry, and actually where I wanted the conversation to go was to LeBron James. And that is because Pat Beverly, who's been making the rounds on ESPN, was revealing and saying he thinks that Steph Curry and LeBron are right there together, 1 and 1A. And we're going to hear the sound in just a minute, but you know, this is a place where LeBron and Curry are very, very different. You know, in the how are you going to build a team around me? And I think there's a lot of reasons for each to have a different approach. Like, Curry has a core. You know, he's got Klay Thompson. He's got Draymond. He's got Steve Kerr. He's got a good front office with Bob Myers as the general manager. You have an owner in Joe Lacob, you know, who is committed to doing things in a cutting edge way. Like, that's a straight up, like, machine that you have around Steph Curry. And I know it's weird to say because the Warriors were a laughingstock for so long, but things turned around for them. You know, LeBron's never had the machine. He's had, you know.
Wow. He had Miami, though. That was Pat Riley.
The Miami years were a machine. Fair point. Totally fair.
Yeah, that had a really good system going right there for a while that he helped build, by the way. I think he was a big part of that machine.
Right, but you're right. You can trust Pat Riley, obviously. Yeah. Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh, you know, and Eric Spoelstra turns out to be one of the great coaches. So you could trust there. But the Cleveland days?
No.
Who trusted anyone there?
No. And I don't even know, by the way, I don't really put this Lakers team into that category either. They seem like they are far away from an organized machine. Yeah.
I wouldn't exactly call the Lakers, a well-oiled machine right now, considering there's about 15, maybe 50 different people even weighing out on who the head coach is going to be. Okay, so let's hear the Pat Beverly sound. And this is what got us thinking, are LeBron James and Steph Curry really at the same level?
Man, they right there.
They're right there together.
He's changed the game. LeBron's changed the game. Of course, everyone knows that. He's changed the game for a 6'8", 6'9 guy to be able to do the stuff what he does with the ball you've never seen before. But what Steph Curry has done, like Alan mentioned on it, these guys are shooting threes and not looking anymore. I mean, that is that. He has changed the game. He is
Most popular player in the NBA.
He looks good doing it. The face is perfect. I mean, everything. I mean, he's the golden boy. Everyone knows that. It just works for him.
See, I don't put LeBron James and Steph Curry on the same level in terms of basketball player. Like, LeBron, to me, is either the first or second best player to ever be in the history of the league. No one's saying that about Steph Curry, but I do get what he's saying about transforming the game. And Perloff, can I ask you this question? I mean, how many times do you have a basketball conversation with somebody and it turns into someone complaining about the state of the game? You know, too many threes. You know, the game, all the blowouts that we're having because it's such a make or miss league. You know, all these things that everyone loves Steph Curry, but if you're really going to give him the credit for transforming the league into more of a three-point shooting league, and I know it's analytics too, but if you're going to give him that credit, in some ways, a lot of people are probably going to give him the blame. Because I think there's a lot of basketball fans out there who don't like what they're seeing in the NBA and think it's way too dependent on the three-pointer.
Yeah, but the way the Warriors do it, people seem to like. Like, Warriors ratings are great usually. And I feel like when KD got hurt and the Warriors broke up, like, the NBA suffered tremendously when the Warriors weren't good because there's a circus-like quality to watching them play. It's so fast-paced and so fun. I think you can bomb threes if you do it like the Warriors. And maybe I'm splitting hairs here, but the way Dallas did it, like, for example, Luka dribbles, passes out, and someone bombs a three. That is completely boring basketball, but it's a combination of ISO and three-point basketball. The Warriors are this beautiful system where they pass the ball, cut behind. It's amazing to watch. So I think that I don't think they should be blamed for this, what you're talking about, where the game has gotten a little obvious with the three-point shots, because the way the Warriors do it is great. If everybody ran a system like that, the NBA would be more entertaining than ever.
Well, yeah, if everyone had Steph Curry and Klay Thompson back there. I mean, I think it's just...
See, I don't think so, Maggie. I think that Steph... I think you could run a system where you pass the ball and cut back. Like, other teams could start passing the ball and shooting threes, too. I don't know why they don't do it more. Steve Kerr's been asked, what's the key to our system? And he never said it was Steph Curry. He said, we have to throw 300 passes in a game. Like, move the ball. That's what I think people want to see, right?
I think they want to see makes. Like, you know, you're talking about, like, this is like going back to Pete Carrillo Princeton. You know, yeah, moving the ball. But, like, it's just about the fact that the Warriors are so good at making those threes.
Whereas, because they move the ball. That's the only reason they're great at it. If they just dribble, they had one guy dribbling at the top of the key for 11 seconds and passing it off. I think it's a function of the system to some degree.
Let's go to the phones. 855-212-4CBS. Our friend Kayvon in North Carolina wants to weigh in on this. Kayvon, how are you, dude?
Yeah, doing well. I really like this conversation. You guys always doing a great job. So I think we have to parse this into two separate conversations, because if we're talking about the transformation of basketball, then yes, like Curry is obviously up there and maybe even surpasses LeBron, because he's a 6'2 best shooter ever, and kids can actually look up to that and say maybe it's possible because he's 6'2. It's not some 6'9 like, you have to be very, very lucky with genetics to be that. But if we're talking about, like, actual basketball, and does he get closer, is he in the conversation with LeBron in terms of actual basketball? I don't even think he's close. I mean, I don't even think he's close to Kobe. I mean, and to illustrate it best, first of all, he doesn't even have a finals MVP. And second, the time that he didn't have any help, no Klay, Draymond only half the year last year, he only made the play-in tournament and he couldn't even win it, and Draymond was with him on that. Like, in terms of the actual impact on the court in basketball, I don't even think he gets close to what LeBron has done on the court. I don't even think it's a conversation yet.
Yeah, you know, Kayvon, and that's where I came down on it too. I don't put him there with LeBron, although you gotta say, like, LeBron's missed playoffs later on in his career, obviously not in the peak days. But he's missed the playoffs. Kobe missed the playoffs fully. You know, yeah. It happened. We like to pretend these years probably didn't happen, but they did. But, you know, it's funny because when Klay got hurt and the Warriors did take a step back, I think that people started, I don't want to say they didn't forget about Curry. That's never going to happen. But he did sort of take a little bit of a back seat to some other stars.
Big time. Yeah. We kind of did forget about Curry. You know, when we think about 2020 when the Lakers were doing their thing, it didn't feel like the Warriors were present. Like, that's why this run is kind of amazing, Maggie. Like, I'm not sure I ever thought they were going to get back to a title team. Did you?
Well, it was really dependent on Klay. I mean, two devastating injuries back to back. And obviously you see it now on the defensive side. I don't know. I thought they would burn out. You know, that I'm surprised they're all able to stay together. Like, you know, Steve Kerr even going through all his back surgeries. And, like, I just thought at some point somebody's going to say, I'm done, you know. But they've kept this whole team together and kept the core together. And then they've drafted well. And think about it. James Wiseman, who they drafted with, what, the number two overall pick, isn't even a factor. And they're still able to be back here. And now I'm curious, Gary Payton, the
Second? I think we got the second.
I had to count him up. I wonder what his status is going to be for the finals. Hey, Perloff, this was amazing yesterday. So obviously after the Warriors make the finals, everyone's celebrating. And it's kind of cool to see them celebrate. You could tell how much it meant to them to get back to the finals. And of course, Klay Thompson was a big part of it. He was very revealing about his morning routine. And here's what it sounds like.
I don't want to give away all my secrets, but before I even start my day, I just get up and I go jump in my 65-degree pool to wake myself up, and I'm so lucky to even have a pool. And then I just, you know, play with Rocco, I play maybe some Nintendo, and I just try to not watch basketball. That's how I clear my mind, is just doing other things that occupy my time that are fun.
Yeah.
You waking up and jumping into any 65-degree pools there?
No. No, that does seem like an athlete thing, to get to cold pools. The last thing on earth I'm doing. I'll play with Rocco. I love Rocco. He's great.
I wouldn't jump into an 85-degree pool. I'm dicey on a 95-degree pool. I don't even really go in pools anymore. I'm a hot tub only kind of person at this point.
Oh, it's got to. Oh my God, you're that spoiled. the pool has to be hot tub level or you have no interest. I love I love a warm pool. So is that something that we put on the big board of agreements? We hate cold swimming pools because I hate them.
Just cold water in general. Like, no chance. I don't go in the ocean. It's not because of the sharks or the whatever's under the water. I don't like to get into cold water. Am I soft?
Yes, you definitely are. There's no doubt about it. Sully, our friend of the show, is across from me now, shaking his head, calling you soft.
Of course.
Have you ever gone in? We should do that.
No, I've done the cold plunge, though. I've done it before.
Where have you done it?
Well, I've never done like the polar challenge. Is that what you're talking about? Where you run into the ocean? No.
Or like at a football facility where you get in the ice bath. Have you ever done that?
So I've done this before. There's a place in New York that is like this bathhouse kind of thing. It's like a Russian bathhouse.
Oh, yeah.
It's downtown. And you go into these saunas that are so hot. Like 140 degrees, and some of them are like wet or dry, like the Schwitz, you know, they call it. And you go and sit in there until you cannot think. It is so hot. And then you walk out and immediately jump into a cold plunge. It is the worst/best experience of your life.
Sounds fun. I like it.
Fun is the last thing I would. That's the last way I would describe it.
I did like a polar plunge in Minneapolis right before the Super Bowl, but it was basically a cold pool, an icy pool that you jumped in and swam for like a minute and got out. And it was terrifying. It was absolutely awful.
Wait, but did you have the heat first?
No. It was outdoors. Remember that week before the Minneapolis Super Bowl, the Eagles Patriots? Remember how cold it was?
Yes.
So I was just wearing like a swimsuit and a Alshon Jeffrey jersey, as I am known to wear around the streets of Minneapolis. Jumped in, got right out. I was like, it was great. And like, there's definitely doctors there. Like, let's not die here. And I did not. But you see all those guys Spoiler. At the NFL facility and training camp who get into those ice tubs. Do we have to do that? Should we go up to Buffalo and like sort of show our solidarity with Bill's Mafia and jump in an ice bath? Are you down with that?
What, the crystal clear waters of Lake Erie? I guess it'll be Lake Ontario up there. No, I'll watch you do it.
Great. Great. Talk about shrinkage. That's like on another level.
I'm shrinking away from the moment. As for the other kind of shrinkage, that doesn't apply to me, thankfully. Well, Klay Thompson, I'll take the Nintendo and playing with the dog sounds cool.
Yeah.
65 sounds degree fun. Pool. That's gonna be a hard pass for me. We got Tom Brady. You got to hear him talking about what's wrong with today's athlete. Oh, Tom. Mm. Tom turned into man on the lawn, shaking his fist at a cloud. Ah, our heroes. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. You can weigh in on the Steph Curry-LeBron debate as well. It is Maggie and Perloff. We're hanging with you on this Friday before Memorial Day weekend on CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, and Sirius XM Channel 158.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Maggie and Perloff. It's the Friday before Memorial Day weekend. Hope wherever you are, you're having fun, planning out a fun, safe weekend. So we're going to call this next segment Get Off My Lawn because it's some older athletes, Perloff, who have some very pointed criticisms for today's player. And first up is James Worthy. The Hall of Famer, of course, former Laker, had a lot to say about what he sees in today's game.
Guys are coming to the NBA. They're not fundamentally sound, you know, so all they do is practice threes, lift weights, get tattoos, and tweet and go on social media. That's it. So you don't have that sound player. You have an athletic player. And that's what's happening to the game. I mean, it's a lot of ISO and looking for mismatches.
And that was courtesy of 97.1 The Ticket in Detroit. So let's run through the litany there. It was lift weights, shoot threes, get tattoos, tweet. Well, I'd say spot the lie.
Accurate. Also, when he says it too in that deep voice, it just sounds like, yeah, that is like, I don't like to be one of those old school people, but I'm with James. He just sounds like, it just makes so much sense when he says it. Like, yeah, that is all these young guys are doing. Although it's a bit of an oversimplification of today's game, but I get what he's saying.
Yeah, see, I guess what it's obviously, you know, it's not a compliment. He doesn't mean it that way. You know, he obviously doesn't think that while the guys are as more athletic maybe than they've been, that he just doesn't think that they're fundamentally sound. He might be right about that. But can I also take that, though, a little bit back to, like, the love of the three? Was that really inspired by the players, or is that more inspired by front offices, analytics? Mm. Like, if you're going to blame somebody on that, it's the smart people in the front offices who said, hey, we've got amazing athletes here. A three is better than a two. Why don't we just keep going for threes and ones? That's what the NBA is, shooting threes and getting to the free throw line.
Yeah, it's just math. Right. Now that
that's guys how you get paid.
But the other thing, too, is like this reminds me a little bit. Remember the AAU argument that players are worse because of AAU? It teaches them like one-on-one style of basketball. There is, in my mind, there's no doubt that AAU made basketball players better because they all learned to shoot in AAU. So if you look at like James Worthy era, there'd be like three guys on the court who couldn't hit a jumper from 18 feet away. Now, Karl-Anthony Towns is 7 feet tall and shooting 43% from three-point line. They're all better shooters, and you look at the numbers, bear that out. Like, the players today would destroy those teams. Even though, like, Worthy's talking about, like, when you watch Worthy play, he did all those drop steps and all those old-school basketball moves. The guys don't have that game anymore, Maggie, but what they do really well.
Yeah, I mean, you don't see the skyhook anymore either. Like, it doesn't mean that wasn't effective. It was, and it probably could be in this era too, but, you know, the game changes. So Kevin Durant weighs in, and he says, my midi is sharp, but James is right. This ain't the old days, LOL. Now, what's interesting about Durant, have we said he's kind of mastered Twitter at this point? I mean, he's graduate level.
No, he's good, but he'll lose his cool on there. Well, don't you think he'll lose his cool?
That's part of it. You gotta be a lot of different people on Twitter. You gotta be outraged when it calls for outrage. You gotta be funny, you know, when it calls for that.
Yeah, but like snarky Kevin Durant is pretty darn good. Well, I agree with that. He's mastered part of it.
I think this is snarky Durant.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. I agree.
But I think what's interesting, like he's talking about, you know, the tweeting. And the one thing about that is, okay, so the medium has changed, right? And this is how people communicate now, and the world is smaller. But you're telling me that the Showtime Lakers weren't aware of what people were saying about them? And that may have been, and I don't know if it was the distraction that it could be today, but all Twitter is just being aware of what one part of the public conversation about you is. It's the same.
Yeah. I mean, I think the Lakers players from the 80s were probably busy doing other things. They wouldn't be tweeting at night from the stories that I've read. They were pretty busy. I don't think they wanted a lot of that on social media. But that sounded like, old man, get off my lawn. Like, the other part of the game is you could have a legitimate conversation that there are too many three-pointers. I do not think this idea that players are on, first of all, they're not on Twitter. They're on other things as well. I mean, I think that is an unfair criticism because these guys work at their games. I mean, it's just a game. You don't think like the modern player is lifting. Like you said, he's lifting weights. He's working on his game. He's shooting. So it's just working different than James Worthy was used to.
Okay, the second athlete who came with the old man take, it comes from none other than Thomas Edward Brady.
And legit old man. He's an old man.
I always tell you, Perloff, you underestimate Brady. You think that he's some good guy, and he might be. I'm fine.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm telling you, underneath that, he's stone cold. Here's what he had to say on a conference call promoting the match on TNT. We don't have the audio, but I'll do my best Tom Brady impersonation. I think you develop a lot of friendships over FaceTime or social media as opposed to, we didn't have that when I started. In 2000, there was no way to get a hold of someone except to see them once in the offseason or make a phone call. Now I feel like everyone's pretty friendly with one another, and I suppose that's a good thing. I think it's a challenging thing, too. I think it's tough to be friends with people you're trying to go at. I see that a lot on the PGA Tour. I think there are a lot of good friends. You're naturally going to let up against someone who you like.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, he is. You're right. He's a killer.
Yeah.
Do you believe that sentiment, that he really feels that way?
I do. Yeah. I think that he has that mentality where he doesn't want to let people get too close to him. You know, I don't know this for sure, but if you're Drew Brees or if you are Aaron Rodgers or, you know, Peyton Manning, I'm sure they're friendly to a point. And I think that Brady probably wanted to keep some distance there because I think there is a human nature aspect to it where if you really like someone, you really respect them, can you really go after them full throttle on the playing field?
Well, you know, Kobe famously wouldn't work out with anyone over the summer because he didn't want them to see their moves. Mm. Jordan, I think Jordan's the ultimate. Like, he would not give up anything to the other team. In fact, he would just sort of try to intimidate them. You know, is football different, though, because quarterbacks don't play other quarterbacks and you have the defense-offensive split? Like, I don't know if there's just a little bit of separation. It feels like quarterbacks have always had this bond. Remember, there used to be a separate union for quarterbacks where they had their own marketing deal?
Yeah.
Like, those guys have been friends for a long time because, like, Tom Brady's not playing Peyton Manning.
Okay.
They're not, like, he's not seeing him across the field.
Okay. Can I just take you down memory lane? Do you remember?
Say the Drew Brees story?
No.
Again?
When Peyton Manning said that he always thought that the New England Patriots locker room was bugged.
Yeah.
And he really believes that.
So?
So you think that they're really close friends if Peyton Manning really thought that Tom Brady's team was trying to listen in on meetings he was having while in Foxborough?
Tom Brady would. No, I don't think that. I don't think Tom Brady knew about the bugging system or how they sort of. No, he didn't know. He was too busy deflating footballs. No, I'm serious. Like, I don't think Tom Brady was in on if they did bug it or if they, you know, the PA system where they're getting the sound into his helmet, which I think the Patriots got involved with that too. You think Tom Brady knew about the illegal videotaping procedure? No, of course he did not.
Oh, my God.
I don't think that would got in the way. Like, you think Peyton and Tom were not friends? Because Peyton's like, ooh, Tom's like, ooh, I know where's.
Brady
doesn't know about that.
No. I'm saying it always goes only to a point, though, because you, like, they can never be full, true, real friends. They can have a friendship or be friendly, but I don't think you can be, like, ever true, true friends because you're always, like, leery of what that person is capable of. And Brady might not have, like, I'm not accusing him of masterminding this plan, but I think Peyton Manning really believed that the locker room in New England was bugged.
Maybe. I mean, I think that these players, you know athletes, Maggie, they don't care about the team rivalries like we do. They're just as loyal to their agents and their own brand as they are the team. So I don't know. I find it hard to believe that Tom was, like, holding back from Peyton. It's maybe I'm just too nice and I'm not, like, seeing, like, the thing. But, like, the quarterbacks, like, Tom wasn't worried about Peyton. He was worried about whoever was trying to play defense for Peyton's team at the time.
So, such a rube you are. Okay, our final get off my lawn. And this one was brewing for a while. It started with Charles Barkley calling San Francisco hell. That obviously didn't go over with the Golden State fan base. And so then TNT starts doing their pregame show and postgame show from outside both, you know, San Francisco and Dallas. And the San Francisco fans were really giving it to Barkley last night. Almost came to, like, maybe blows. Listen to this.
Mm.
It's time to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day. It's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Today's question comes from Bill in Iowa. You guys have been paying tribute to Tom Cruise all week. What's your favorite Tom Cruise movie? Don't forget, you can submit a question by going to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros or tweeting it at @cbssportsradio using the hashtag #AskThePros. Perloff, I'll give you the floor. You want to go first here?
Mine is an older movie, The Color of Money, which is with Paul Newman.
Yep.
To me, one of the reasons it's so magical about that movie, first of all, it's Martin Scorsese. So the plot is an older pool player is passing the torch to a younger pool player. In many ways, it was Paul Newman passing the torch to Tom Cruise as the biggest living actor. Now, also, it's kind of like, it's not a blockbuster, you know? It's artsy and dirty and gritty as a movie you get. And Tom Cruise is more Tom Cruise, just like this brash, cocky wunderkind who's amazing at everything he does. That's kind of who I think he is, and it was an interesting side to him. Yeah, I like that. There's a lot that I like. That's the one that jumped to mind.
Okay, I'm going to probably go with A Few Good Men just because it's the one I've watched the most.
Yeah.
It's like the most rewatchable to me. I'm sure Jerry Maguire is pretty rewatchable also.
That's
like
a great one.
One of those, like, you'll stop on it if you're, you know, flipping channels, if people even do that anymore. But I would probably say, but like, let's be honest, like The Firm, you know, it's all kind of the same. It's kind of like a similar movie, you know?
But give him credit for like Born on the 4th of July, where he's just like a completely different thing going on. You know, it's a great one. It was recent. It was called American Made, where he plays a drug smuggler. Sully, who's in the room, friend of the show, is trying to tell me that was the most amazing one. It's a Tom Cruise as an unhinged cocaine dealer is pretty amazing. The guy, you got to give him some credit.
Yeah.
He's got range. I mean, he's done 11 Mission Impossible movies and now 2 Top Gun. He certainly knows how to play that character as well.
Tom Cruise versus Tom Hanks.
Ooh, I'm a Tom Cruise guy. I'm not a huge Tom Hanks guy. That might cause some trouble this late in the show, right
not
before Memorial Day.
Not a huge Tom Hanks guy.
Whatever we had planned for this segment has to go out the window because we have to discuss this. We have to lay this all out, sit in a chair and talk.
It's like you told us you think Steph Curry's better than LeBron. I don't know.
So Tom Hanks is like, yes, he's like America's best friend. He seems like an incredible guy. He's won multiple Oscars, but is he really a great actor? Like, you see him in like kind of Tom Hanks playing the Tom Hanks thing. He's not exactly Anthony Hopkins.
No, he's not Daniel Day-Lewis. I get that.
No, exactly.
Do you think Tom Hanks could have done what Tom Cruise did in Tropic Thunder? Recognizable, you know.
He's not as talented as Tom Cruise. I feel like Tom Hanks can do the Tom Hanks kind of role. You know, I know this could be an unpopular take, but Tom Hanks is just not that kind of actor.
I mean, I'll be honest. There's a lot of Tom Hanks roles in his Tom Hanks movies, but like there's a lot of not Tom Hanks. Like, Forrest Gump is not a Tom Hanks role, not to get dark, but like Philadelphia is not a Tom Hanks role.
Think Tom Cruise could have played Forrest Gump? He's too handsome.
No, he couldn't have pulled off.
He's
Tom
too
Hanks was
movie
perfect.
Starry, you know, yeah. to be like. Right?
Okay, I'll tell you what. Here's a maybe. I like
Forrest
Brad
Gump's
Pitt.
Supposed to be the underdog. You can't be an underdog when you're that handsome. Yes.
I like Brad Pitt better than both of them. I think Brad
wow.
Pitt.
Wow.
I'll take
Fight
Leo
Club.
Over all of them.
And Leo. See, I would over take.
I'm not a Leo guy. I don't love Leo either.
You don't,
I don't think Leo. Leo's Leo in every movie. Like Leo. Oh, Sally's gonna kill me here.
This boy's life. Leo is awesome.
This boy's, do not pull out What's Eating Gilbert Grape and This Boy's Life for Leo. Do you think Leo is anybody different than Leonardo DiCaprio in any movie, except for the recent one, Don't Look Up? I just don't think he's as good. Like, Brad Pitt, everything he's in is amazing, where Leonardo DiCaprio doesn't
Wait,
do
what
it for
is
me.
This big range that Brad Pitt is playing? He's either playing handsome guy eating an apple or the handsome guy eating some grapes.
But look at every Brad Pitt movie he's in. They're all amazing. He's never been in a project that has failed. I'd like, pull one up for me, Mike. He's in River Runs Through It. He's in Fight Club. He's in all the Ocean's 11 movies. He's in, Meet Joe Black. That's a bad one.
Oh, yeah.
He's great. Thelma and Louise. He's just like, I feel like he's another level. To me, he's like Paul Newman, closer to Paul Newman than either of those guys.
Wait, how about this, though? Matt Damon.
No. Oh, get out of here. How do you like them apples?
All right. Well, I think thoroughly answered that Ask the Pros question of the day.
Who's your actor, Maggie? Take out those guys. Is there anybody you'd like to throw? You're a big Leo fan?
Big Leo person. Big Leo. Like, really big Leo. And I would say, I love Tom Hanks. I think he's great.
Oh, Tom Hanks. First of all,
Tom Hanks.
You're talking like it's a character flaw the most popular movie star on the men's side.
Perloff, I think you're getting lost in like kind of more recent Tom Hanks. When you think of like big Tom Hanks, Splash, Bachelor Party, The Money Pit, Dragnet, like The Burbs, Turner and Hooch,
banger, like old after school, banger after banger after banger.
But like those 80s and early 90s Tom Hanks movies, like some of the newer ones, I can give you that maybe some of them fell flat. But man, like early Tom Hanks, nothing's better than that. Man,
Turner Hooch is a banger.
I was thinking about Joe versus the Volcano. I was really
thinking
Joe
versus the Volcano.
The
that
burbs.
Movie's awful.
I was thinking
that's
about
a Meet Joe Black of Tom Hanks.
A League of Their Own, top three baseball movie of all time.
Yeah, League of Their Own. Man, can we put Will Smith in here? I feel like is this dicey post-slap?
There's a movie called This Is Us, where James Franco and Jason Segel and Jay Baruchel and Seth Rogen are all like riding through the apocalypse together. You guys ever seen this?
No, This Is the End.
This Is the End. This is Us. Is that TV different. Show that makes people cry.
They define, like, they have a great definition for a hipster. Someone who hated Forrest Gump is a hipster, and someone who liked Forrest Gump is the opposite of a hipster. So I feel like that's a defining line. You have to decide. Are you? And I know, Mike Samper, you are not a hipster. You probably love Forrest Gump.
I'm obsessed with Forrest Gump. How can you not like Forrest Gump?
Honestly, like, I'm embarrassed to say how much Forrest Gump taught me about history.
Oh, my God.
No disrespect to all of my amazing teachers that I had throughout the years, but, like, I probably came out in, what, 93? I was 10. I probably learned more about American history through Forrest Gump than I did through fourth grade of my elementary school. I'm sorry, teachers. I don't mean it. Okay. Well, we have to keep honoring Tom Cruise, and this is the final segment of the show, and we're going to do this as we've been putting Tom Cruise movies and putting them with sports themes. The last one is Cocktail, and that is who deserves a nice hearty cheers as we go into the weekend. I know that's not exactly what Cocktail was about, but we're going to skip over all that those weird scenes in the Bahamas and just bring it back to who gets a cheers, Perloff. And my first person are Luka Doncic and the Mavs. You know, it wasn't awesome at the end. They end up getting a gentleman sweep by the Golden State Warriors, but they are ahead of schedule. You know, Luka really did turn his season around, got in shape somehow, like played his way into shape. And Jason Kidd turns out really good coach. This is a team that's on the rise, and now everyone just has to see what are they going to do this offseason to try to give Luka more help.
We'll see. We'll see, Maggie. I don't see it. I feel like Luka is flawed. He can't share the ball, and he can't shoot well enough to play like LeBron. I don't know. I don't know if structurally the Mavs are set up for success.
You know, what's interesting is Luka was talking last night at the postgame, and they said, you know, what are you looking forward to about this off season and like working? Is this going to stay with you? And he goes, oh, like thinking about basketball, I just saw my schedule. Like, I'm going to have no time. I'm like, really? Another off season where he's going to be so stretched thin? And then you know what happens? Your diet starts to go. Your conditioning starts to go. I mean, like, Luka needs an off season. And I know this happens with a lot of European guys who are like the saviors for their basketball team, their national teams and stuff like that. Like he was for the Slovenian team last summer competing in the Olympics and stuff. But like he needs an off season.
Wait, are we doing the LeBron-like excuse machine is starting up for Luka? I didn't know that was. Is that a new industry?
Yes. I just invented it. Well, I'll tell you what. It'd be if they go after Rudy Gobert. That's not going to be good. It'll be good for the regular season, but that's not going to be good for the playoffs.
Can I give out a cocktail, Maggie?
Go ahead.
I want Joel Embiid, 76ers big man, to get a nice cocktail because I think he had a major victory on social media by playing you by pretending he wanted to go down to Miami. And it's right here on our big board of disagreement on TV.
Yep.
I've been thinking about it all week. This is the fact. There's no way he could have been serious because if he really wanted to go to Miami, nobody is that blatant about getting to a new team. Like, it just doesn't happen that way.
Perloff, we're living in a blatant society. You know, James Harden was blatant. Anthony Davis was blatant. Jimmy Butler was blatant when he wanted to leave the Minnesota Timberwolves. Sometimes you just got to really make it black and white. Here it is. I want to go. And he said Miami needs another superstar. All that was missing was the eye roll emojis, the eyeball emojis. You're crazy if you don't think Joel Embiid is sending a message with that tweet. That's not just a little tweet.
The next message was LMAO, y'all are so stupid. Crying emoji, crying emoji, crying emoji. Yeah. There's one thing that is more, the trend that is even more notable than players getting their way out of towns is making fun of people with snarky tweets. Look at what, that's the newest trend, is that guys like LeBron and KD and Tom Brady, they're messing with us on social media. Tom Brady put out a fake hole-in-one the other day. Like, this is a thing now. They're trolling us, Maggie. No, they're trolling you.
It's covering their tracks when they realize they've gone too far. And by the way, so you have the big board of disagreements with you in the studio in L.A., so we're going to need you to bring that back to New York. So if you can put that on a carry-on or whatever.
I think we just need to talk and hash them out and not bring the board with us. We can agree if it means me not having to carry this on the plane.
No, I think we're going to need that going through the metal detectors and going through everything. LAX, they're going to be so happy to see you.
Yeah, but I'll just say Maggie thinks Dak's not a top 10 quarterback. And then it's going to start a long conversation. I don't want to do it.
You'll never get to the plane. Okay. Have a great time at the Steve Clarkson quarterback retreat. That's going to be a lot of fun. Thank you, Mike Samter, Stu Kovacs, Marlo Donahue, everyone on the radio and TV side. Sully. Thank you, Sully. We'll see you guys on Tuesday. Love you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular-season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.